So how serious do you take your relationship with the Lord? Is it a casual affair? Is he a good buddy to you? Is he somebody who is there when you need him, but just kind of off into the corner? How do you approach him on Sundays when you go to worship God? Casual? Or is it with reverence, with awe? Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're back in Exodus chapter 19 with another look at a message called Israel Goes Under the Law, Part 2, chapter 19, verses 9 through 25. And we get a sense that God is a God to be revered, feared, and honored. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris now on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
You read this, you started, this is a little bit scary. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better. Then you notice verse 15, and he says to the people, get ready for the third day. Don't come near your wives. When you come into my presence, I want such undivided attention. I don't want the least distraction. I don't want the least lust going on in your hearts. I'm coming. Totally pure, undivided attention, totally focused, no one better yawn, no one better sleep. You think lusting ever happens at church? Well, I know sleeping does. I can see sometimes. I guarantee that the women of Israel were a lot more modest than 2016 Southern California women coming to church. So here we are, totally, totally pure in your garments. You are totally focused. Keeps going. And then I want you to set limits for the people all around, saying, take care, verse 12, not to go up to the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. You've seen police lines. Rolls of red tape out, or yellow tape. Authorized access only, persons only. This is an electrical circuit. You do not want to go in there. Israel has just had their first spirit-filled, powerful worship service. I want bounds everywhere, Moses. I want archers ready. I want archers ready. And here's the thing. I want stones in their hands. I want this communicated. You put your warriors out. You put them all around them. If anyone so much as puts a finger to the mountain, if they touch it where it begins to break and head up, you want that. You immediately have your archer shoot them dead with an arrow. Or stone them. And if anyone else touches the one who touched the mountain, he gets it too. Not a finger better touch the mountain. It reminds me of when we were kids and we did our first test with the petri dishes of the touching a doorknob. I was overwhelmed at what happens when you touch a doorknob. I read an article at CBS. One germy doorknob can infect half your office within hours. Did you know on your hands right now, 5,000 germs reside on your hands at any given time? And about 200 of you are going to come shake mine right after church. Death germs. If there is one death germ that gets on from touching the mountain, the guy who touched the mountain that gets on the next guy, this is the sense of this. You shoot arrows. In our context, we're all in an AR-15 craze, right? You get the ARs out. God tells Moses, you make really clear they need to come with great caution so that they only should, when they hear the trumpet, it's going to get louder and louder and louder after a long time, then they slowly should make their way up. I wonder how much preparation you all gave today to coming to worship. It doesn't really work to roll out of bed casually with a nonchalant attitude, thinking that God's just going to be pleased if I come here. It just doesn't work, does it? That would be sort of evidence of an approach to God that has no sense of transcendence or glory or his otherness from the creation. Here's my question. Are you hearing the standard? The whole scene we get is that this is a danger zone. Worship. Because worship is the time we come closest to God. I think of Psalm 50, which talks about this, and it gives a warning at the very end of the psalm. It says something that we can't even imagine hearing. Consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you into pieces and there be none to deliver. You believe that God is that terrifying in his holiness? Scary stuff. Now that's just all preparation for worship. On the third day he comes. Verse 16, on the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. I don't know how to get close to describing the horror of this. The Lord descends upon it as in fire. It's a fire theophany, we call it. In other words, the whole mountain is engulfed. If you looked at the giant mountain in front of you, a dark, black, ominous cloud just appeared. It came down, a fire column rose right to heaven, and the cloud is wrapped around the entire mountain so that you can't see. You see the fire and lightning show going on everywhere, and all of a sudden, it says, it is just awesome. It's like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain is on fire. It's a giant coal. The only light is this fire column. And Moses says, then all of a sudden, the trumpet begins to sound, and it gets louder, and it gets louder, and it gets louder, so that they can no longer bear the strength of it. You hear thunder like you've never heard before. Arizona monsoons don't hold a candle to this. The ground starts shaking bigger than anything that has ever hit the Richter scale. Cosmic upheaval, so that the text says Sinai itself is trembling. Thundering in his holiness, undisputed in his power. Everything is shaking, everything's quaking, thundering, the dark cloud louder and louder, and it is announced, the trumpet has announced, the King of Glory has just entered his holy hill. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Daniel described this when he said, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. We think of Isaiah in the temple, seeing that train just of his robe and dropping and covering. John said when he saw the glory that this hair was as white as wool, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like on burning, burning bronze, I think it was. Fire in its highest intensity is pure white. What do you think Israel did? Well, it tells you. Verse 16 says, then they trembled. You ever been so afraid that you're thrown into a complete panic? My guess is that many of you have never had this kind of panic where you're shaking involuntarily. It's at this point God tells Moses, come up. And you would think that maybe this is going to go from bad to better. But it goes from bad to worse. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 21, go down, come up, go down. Warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord and look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. And Moses said to the Lord, the people can't come up to Mount Sinai. You warned us, and we did what you told us to do. The archers are out. You told us set limits around the mountain and consecrate. The Lord says, go down. And come up bringing Aaron, but don't let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. It has the effect of this. Come up, get down. Well, Lord, wait, you told us what to do. We're going to get out of here right now. Get down. I'm going to break out. And the sense of this text is something has gone horribly wrong. We're not told what it was. Maybe there was an Achan in the camp who was stealing. Maybe someone was lusting. Maybe someone didn't take very seriously the statement of the Lord, wash your garments. Maybe dust, as they were approaching up to the mountain, flew up and got on their clothes. Whatever the case, God's ready to strike. Down! Down! Why? Because the law had already been broken before it was given. We tend to look at the golden calf and think that's the big thing. There's a lot more going on. Now, you've read the law all these years. I wonder if it's had the effect on us like it should. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit, and through Moses, puts the law and interjects the law right here. Right here. God is ready to strike. The whole narrative stops. We don't know why. We're all left and what is going on? What's going on? And all of a sudden you read, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Right there. Do you feel the effect of that? They just promised they're going to keep the whole thing. It's gone bad. Something's gone bad. And the text has intentionally left a question mark. How can this relationship go on if they relate to God on the basis of their own righteousness by keeping the Torah? And dear Christians, this is why Paul said to you who want to be under the law, do you hear the law? Israel couldn't endure, Hebrews 12, what was commanded of them right here he's looking at. Now the point is, why does the Holy Spirit, who interprets the whole Bible, what is he teaching us here? What does he want the world to study here when looking at Israel? Remember what Paul said? I was once alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Explain that. I thought I was doing well. I thought I was a good Torah law-keeping guy. I thought I was good and moral. And then one day the law came home to me, and in its full force it struck and it hit hard. And one day that commandment came so home to my heart, I felt for the first time in my life the condemning terror of the law, and I knew I was in deep trouble. And it killed me. It brought, this is why the New Testament speaks of the law this way, it brought wrath. It kills. And after the commandment came, what is the first thing they're saying after the 10th commandment is given? Don't let him speak anymore to us. And there's a little ominous phrase there that you really should highlight, because Hebrews is picking up on it. And they stood way back, afar off. This was worship from afar. It was that dangerous. Now, I'm not theologizing today. This is why the Holy Spirit said you don't want to be under that. Look at what happened to Israel. Do you hear it? The history bears itself out in the Old Testament. And at this point, if I've done my job, nobody should be talking now about covenantal faithfulness. You need a better mediator. This is the point. Nobody should be saying this is about me. I need a better high priest. I need, and this is the basis upon which John said the law came through Moses. The law is not evil, the commandment's not bad, but I am. And so the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Moses was a faithful mediator. Moses was a good mediator, but he was insufficient. He was temporary, and Moses couldn't keep the law for the people. Notice that, because Moses is telling them to go wash their garments. You see, God's teaching us something very basic here this morning. You can't come into his presence in your own righteousness. And you see God teaching this. Do you think, here's where I'm going to help you a little bit with the clothes issue that we've had such a big issue with in our day. Do you think he is merely satisfied with external nice suits? Do you think God is satisfied with clean suits? The rabbi said Abraham was already performing ritual cleansings as Moses. Do you think he was satisfied with that? Do you think keeping the death germs off your body will please God? Of course not. Do you think you've loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Even if our clothes today met God's standard, what are you ever going to do with impure hearts? There's another scene in the Old Testament of somebody standing before God in dirty clothes. Remember that? His name was Joshua the high priest. And there was Satan standing right there at his right hand to accuse him. Lord, he's filthy. I know your standard. And all of a sudden, somebody standing there rebukes him and says, angel of the Lord, who we know is Christ, rebukes him, forgives him, and then says, put on him rich robes. It's not a suit. Give him my righteousness. I love that passage. The great issue that's being shown to us here this morning, in light of how we look at Scripture, Psalm 24, Psalm 15, who may ascend that hill of the Lord? Here it is. They're trying to ascend it. They're at the foot. That's the hill of the Lord. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to an idol. That's the whole trajectory of how Israel broke the law. And Jesus is saying to you today, as he did in Luke 24, all of that is about me. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. No, not just faded. Like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He's the righteousness to which we have to submit. And that's why the New Testament says he's a mediator of a better covenant. Listen to this. Who, in offering up his own life, is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. Since he always lives to make intercession and pray for you. Do you know he does that right now when you are lusting? And this is why the New Testament says perfect love casts out all fear. So that you can have boldness even on the coming day of judgment, beloved. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can, Book of Hebrews, enter boldly into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. You come today, here's the beauty of this, no matter how you're dressed outwardly, you come today cleansed, if by faith in Christ, cleansed, wearing his spotless garments before the eyes of God. And the law has no more power to condemn you. You've not come to the mountain today that may be touched, Hebrews, that burned with fire into blackness and tempest and darkness and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who hear it beg that the word should be spoken to them no more. That would be a scary worship service. For they could not endure what was commanded. And so much as if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. So terrifying was the sight, Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. He's taken away your fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Right now, if you could see, like Elisha's servant, when they said, open up the eyes, Lord, right now you would see a worship service all around you of the angels on the holy mountain praising God. And in spirit and in truth, you are there right now in the most holy place. That's how the New Testament presents our worship. This is the freedom he wants you to have, dear Christians. This is the peace and joy that he wants you to have. This is Romans 8, which I hope begins to marvel our hearts. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. For what the law could not do, God did by sending his son to fulfill it. And therefore, Romans 6, you're not under it, you're under grace. You're wrapped in his righteousness. Anyone clinging to their own righteousness would have a hard time with this. I understand that. But if the law has done its work as it should, you're going to say instead, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus is going to come and say, I've given you a new and living way into the most holy place. Anyone believing me, I'll never cast out of my presence. When Paul understood this, he said, now we establish the law in our lives. Now we establish it. Now we're actually doing it in sincerity of heart and gratitude, wrapped in the robes of Christ's righteousness. And that's why it says at the end of the book of Jude that Jesus, being the mediator of the better covenant, says to you today who believe, I am able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Well, you've been given the greatest news anyone could ever give you on the face of the earth today. Cling to the righteousness of Jesus. You have everything you need in him. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we do confess that we have taken you too casually. And because of our day of cheap grace, where no one really does appreciate what had to be done for us even to have access today into the most holy place, people have trampled your courts and disregarded you and your holiness, and we've been guilty of the same. Forgive us our sins, Lord. And we realize that we need far greater than an external righteousness. We need what the scriptures describe as pure hands and a pure heart. And we are so thankful that in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the better covenant, you've given us these things. And today we come to a different mountain, and before the face of God can worship you in peace and in joy of the Holy Spirit. May Christ be exalted in our hearts today as we receive all these benefits with thanksgiving. And in confidence, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
So many lessons to be learned here in the book of Exodus, and we trust these past few programs here in chapter 19 have given you a very good indication of just who it is that we serve as the God of this universe, his tender, loving kindness towards us in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732. Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.